Well, my next guest says robots are poised to transform our society as completely as the internet did 20 years ago. Imagine that. John Markoff is the author of the brand new book, Machines of Loving Grace, The Quest for Common Ground Between Humans and Robots. John is a Pulitzer Prize winning New York Times science writer. John, great having you here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, now the book itself, how long did it take you to write this book?
Well, you know, I've been writing about robots pretty actively since 2004, and I took a year off, 8 months actually, over the last 2 years, and mm-hmm. So I actually worked on the book pretty concentrated fashion then.
I mean, it seems like people have been dreaming about robots helping us for, 50, 60 years, something like
forever, that? Forever. Yeah. Forever. It goes all the way back to, remember Frankenstein?
Yeah.
The Golem before that.
But, that was a robot. Now, just how close are we to a major shift right now then?
Well, so we're just at the point where, robots have been with us doing repetitive tasks like building automobiles. The automotive industry adapted robotics very intensely compared to most other industries going back 30 or 40 years. Mm-hmm. What's interesting about right now is that for the first time, robots are starting to move around in the world. They're getting out of their cages. And, you know, they're taking baby steps. It's not like there's going to be a robot wandering down the street. Even a self-driving car is a ways off, I'm afraid.
What are you referring to when they're moving out of their cage? What's an example of that?
Well, one of the things I saw that was most striking, while I was working on the book, I would go up to have breakfast at the Stanford Golf Course behind campus. Mm-hmm. And one day I parked my car and a woman pulled up in a Tesla and she got her golf cart out and she walked off and the golf cart followed her. And I did a double take, and then, of course, I Googled it, and you can buy a robotic golf cart that will follow you around the golf course for, I think, $1,500 now.
Hmm. And what is robotics is going to make our lives better then, or?
Well, yeah, I think that it'll have a big impact. Here in San Francisco, they just opened a new restaurant called Itza right across the street from the Times Bureau that is sort of like the Automat. Do you remember the Automats in New York?
Yeah.
And they've sort of come back to that. But I think it's sort of all throughout society, people are working on robotic technologies mm-hmm. to do things that humans have done. Elder care, for example, is one that I'm most interested in. I don't know if the elder care robots will come in time for me, but people are working very hard on the problem.
Are they going to be nice to us?
Well, they're also working on robotic weapons, so they'll be both nice to us and they'll be bad to us. I mean, these are machines that are basically increasingly becoming autonomous.
I'm trying to imagine, would you rather have a robot or a human take care of you when you're old?
Well, that's a really good and it's a difficult question because some people say, well, that's an incredibly dehumanizing thing. But you can look at it a different way. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been involved in the care of one of your parents. But, people who are cared for by other humans, when they're aging, they lose their dignity. And I think you can conceive of using machines to actually give people privacy and give people their integrity back and still allow them to have human contact. So they could be used in a good way.
No, that sounds great. Essentially, you're saying whenever you have issues, let's say in the bathroom, that kind of thing, a robot could help instead of having a person. Now, how far away do you think that is from anything like that happening?
Well, okay, so what's the ground truth? I know that I've visited universities where they're beginning to work on this problem. And these are very hard problems. So right now, I've seen robots that can sort of be operated in the home and they can pick things up.
Mm-hmm.
So for an elder person, that's very useful, no question. But it's not the same. It's not the same as helping someone take a shower, or lifting someone out of a bed. Those require great strength and great dexterity and delicacy. And we're not there yet. The best sort of real world sort of example of where we are was this DARPA. DARPA is the think tank for the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. And they had a contest over the last couple of years called the DARPA Robotics Challenge. And you were supposed to develop a robot that could operate in a crisis situation where the environment might be difficult for humans, like Fukushima, the nuclear power plant meltdown. And the finals were in Los Angeles 2 months ago, and there were 24 teams, best roboticists in the world, several million dollars, 18 months, and only two or three of the robots were able to complete the eight simple tasks. You know, things like driving, opening a door, closing a valve, walking over uneven ground.
They would do this on their own, right, without any kind
of... Well, no. See, that's the point. They were teleoperated by and large, so they weren't really autonomous. They did some things autonomously, but there was the safest thing to say is the autonomy that they showed was minimal at that point. And these were the best roboticists in the world.
I'm talking to John Markoff, the brand new book, Machines of Loving Grace, The Quest for Common Ground Between Humans and Robots. So is it the automobile industry that's really kind of pushed the robotic world forward? Is that it?
Well, Google, with their self-driving car program, which was, came public in 2010, has scared the automobile industry into being much more active than it might have been otherwise. And so there are lots and lots of self-driving car research programs. Uber, the taxi company, the ride-sharing company, got into the business, research business too. But how soon will we actually see cars, or let's say trucks on the freeway without humans in them? I can't see that happening over the next decade. Now, it was really interesting. About 2 weeks ago, Toyota made an announcement that they are going to fund MIT and Stanford to do research not on self-driving cars, but on what they call intelligent cars. And so what they want to do is, rather than replacing you as the driver, they want to put a guardian angel over your shoulder or a driver's ed teacher who will watch you all the time. And if you make a mistake, they'll step in and help you. And I think that's probably a more practical solution to the problem, maybe even a better idea.
So when you start texting, that's when the car knows I better step in. Hey, let me ask you this, because in the book you talk about artificial intelligence. The book, by the way, Machines of Loving Grace, new book by John Markoff. Where are we with that in terms of the idea that a computer, that a robot could actually really think on its own and just act out?
Yeah. So there are different sort of categories within that field, and people talk about this idea of artificial general intelligence or strong AI, and that's a thinking machine. That's when is a computer going to be able to do what you and I do in the full sense of human thought? And then there are these subcategories like machines that can see, machines that can speak and listen, and they're doing really well now on the sort of the subtasks, communicating with humans, for example. But this notion that has been sort of there have been these warnings issued recently by people like Elon Musk, who talked about the possibility of summoning the demon, or Bill Gates, or Stephen Hawking.
Are these guys? Should we be paying attention to what they're saying?
You know, I do not believe that self-aware AIs are an immediate existential threat to the human race. However, raising the question is a good one, because we are increasingly giving machines autonomy, and that's something we need to think very hard about. Where you can see that most clearly is an autonomous weapon system. Those can be built now. And do we really want to let machines make killing decisions?
No, because that's like the movie Terminator. Then we're in serious trouble. Tell me this though. What's going to happen to us in terms of our jobs? Should we get ready for major unemployment up ahead?
I've been talking to lots and lots of technologists and economists, and from a reporter's point of view, this is the best of all possible times, because their opinions are across the entire spectrum. So on the one side, you have the International Federation of Robotics, who argues this is going to be the largest job renaissance in history. And on the other side, you have some computer scientists who basically argue that computers will be able to do all tasks humans do by 2045. So one of these groups has to be right. And, I started out more in the camp that was worried, and I've come around to feel that it's a much more complex question than the people who simply say that the robots will steal our jobs. What's true is, the economist John Maynard Keynes in the 1930s said that technology destroys jobs, it doesn't destroy work. And if you think about that today, there are more Americans working today, 140 million plus Americans working, than ever in history. So if they're getting ready to steal our jobs, it hasn't started to happen yet. And then there's another point. One more point. So America, China, Korea, Japan, Europe, we're all aging societies. And that means that as we age, the size of the workforce is going to shrink. And so we might actually need robots.
So, tell me this, John. So I remember back when the Macs were around, right? Those computers, you could play some games on them, type a few letters maybe. How much of a so what are we talking about from that to now we have our smartphones? How would you compare then where we are now to 20 years from now with robotics? I mean, how are they going to actually be inside our lives?
Well, 20 years from now, what I try to confine myself as a reporter to not looking more than 5 years down the line, because 20 years is you're into the realm of science fiction and it's very hard to predict. You know, if I had to bet, what's sort of the next interesting technology that's going to show up and really affect people? I mean, I don't know about your city, but I wander around in downtown San Francisco, and half the people on the streets are actually staring at the palm of their hand now at their smartphone. And I tell you, that can't be the final step in human evolution. You know, there has to be something next. And what's interesting is there are two sort of big technologies in Silicon Valley that are just starting to show up. And one is called virtual reality, and the other is called augmented reality. And, you know, in augmented reality, you basically wear a device or glasses that allow you to sort of basically cover your field of view with computer-generated imagery.
Okay.
And so basically,
we could basically, do you imagine us using robots just to manipulate our own lives? Like, imagine we have like friends, but they're really robots. That, like, where they really just take over everything.
You know, that's already happening. Have you seen the movie Her?
Do you feel that's kind of the direction where we're going then with the robots?
I think we're going there very quickly. Yes, I do. And in fact, as I watch the progress in technology like Siri and related natural language understanding technology, I think it will be fairly routine to speak to machines instead of humans. And, you know, that could be a good thing or it could be a bad thing.
I'm trying to think the good part of that. What would that be?
Well, it might be efficient. For example, think about how all of us used to go into banks and sort of interact with human tellers, and now most of us go to ATMs because they're more efficient. And I think, what if you want to get support for your computer? If you could call a telephone number and talk to a machine that could understand you and could give you an answer quickly, you probably would do that.
And imagine we end up realizing we don't need other people, we need the perception of other people.
That gets scary, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Well, because in the end, it seems like we'd somehow be satisfied with a computer that we felt was actually a person. We'd go, okay, that works.
Yeah, I worry about that, actually. Yeah. I just did some reporting. It's not in the book, but Microsoft has this experimental program in China called Zhao Ice. It translates to Little Bing. And there are 20 million Chinese users, 10 million of them are intense users of Zhao Ice. It's different than Siri. Right. Siri is a program that helps you get something done. Zhao Ice is a program that's intended to have a conversation with you.
Right.
And fully 25% of the users of that program have said, have typed, because it's typed, not spoken, have typed, I love you, to Zhao Ice.
Well, that's it makes sense. John Markoff, the book, by the way, Machines of Loving Grace, The Quest for Common Ground Between Humans and Robots, looks back at how we got to where we are here and... Well, hopefully the common ground we may find between us and robots. John Markoff again. John, thank you very much.
Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Yep.